frozen Russian assets could be used to rebuild Ukraine. I'm Leanna Byrne and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Good morning. The European Union has formed a working group to examine a proposal to rebuild Ukraine using seized Russian assets. These assets include frozen funds from Russia's central bank and properties like superyachts belonging to sanctioned oligarchs. Jessica Parker reports from Brussels.
Poland and the Baltic states have been particularly pushing this plan, saying confiscated cash could help pay for reconstruction as well as compensation, given the huge damage caused by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's estimated that across the EU and other advanced economies, there are around €300 billion in frozen Russian central bank funds, plus property such as seized yachts owned by oligarchs. But there are warnings that actually using or monetizing these assets could be legally very complex. Nevertheless, diplomats are expected to task a group of officials to further analyse what's possible.
That was the BBC's Jessica Parker. Now, a big consequence of Russia's invasion has been soaring energy prices in Europe. The European Union hopes to control prices through a much-debated natural gas price cap, which came into effect today. It's there to protect consumers and businesses from excessively high natural gas prices. Tom Marzik-Manser, he's head of gas analytics at the market intelligence firm ICIS, and he told me that the cap will only be triggered if prices reach last year's highs.
You'd expect the gas market to trade in a 10 to 30 euro range. So around 20 euros is a normal price. And we're at 52, 53 at the moment. So 2.5 times higher. And the likelihood is that it will remain somewhat expensive for a number of years still.
Prices are going to be limited if they breach 180 euros per megawatt hour for 3 days running. What does that mean for a consumer? How will that affect them?
So we're way down from where that 180 euro price cap is. So at the moment, it will have no impact. Of course, if the price were to go back up, then it could have some sort of impact.
There were a lot of countries that wanted to bring this in very urgently to protect consumers, but then there was others that were concerned the cap would scare off suppliers. Were they right to be concerned about that?
We would certainly argue at ICIS and certainly those trading in the market that the high prices that we saw, and let's be honest, they did get up to something like 320 euros per megawatt hour very briefly in August 2022. It is that high price and like the ability for the European gas price to be the most expensive price globally, which means that we were able to draw in swathes of liquefied natural gas on boats from around the world and outcompete markets in Asia and at the same time reduce demand domestically. These measures of bringing in high extra supply and reducing demand that have meant the market has been balanced. And we continue to receive all that LNG, which is why the price is now starting to come off quite considerably.
Tom Marzik-Manser, Head of Gas Analytics at ICIS. Thanks for joining Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, let's do the numbers. No change to London's FTSE as UK inflation slowed more than expected last month to a six-month low. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed down 2% and Turkey's stock market soared today after a five-day suspension triggered by last week's earthquake. Some air industry news. Air India is reaching new highs. It's buying 470 planes from Airbus and Boeing. That's the biggest order for new passenger aircraft in history. The BBC's Nikhil Inandar is in Mumbai.
This is essentially being done to revamp Air India's aging fleet after it was bought over from the government about 2 years ago. Now, this is, of course, an intent to buy at this point in time. But when the deal, of course, does start to go through, it will run into tens of billions of dollars, which is certainly great news for Boeing and Airbus at a time when there has been a bit of a slump in aviation orders. This is expected to support hundreds of thousands of jobs in the US and also in Europe.
BBC's Nikhil Inandar in Mumbai there. Now, last but not least, it's probably the most controversial diamond in the world. 150 carats, oval-shaped and priceless. The Koh-i-Noor diamond has been the subject of conquest and intrigue for centuries. It's been in British hands since the mid-19th century, but Buckingham Palace has said the diamond will not be used in the coronation of King Charles III and Queen Consort Camilla. Charlotte Gallagher reports.
The Chloe Knorr had pride of place during the Queen Mother's coronation. As one of the world's largest cut diamonds, it was quite literally the jewel in the crown. But the stone has a long, troubled history. It's been fought over and stolen countless times, with multiple countries claiming ownership. It was taken from India and given to Queen Victoria in 1849 and has been in the UK ever since. The historian William Dalrymple explains the significance of the stone.
Today, it's a symbol for Indians and for Afghans and for Pakistanis and Bangladeshis and to a lesser extent Iranians of all that the West has taken from them. This tiny diamond, which you can hold easily in the palm of your hand, has taken on the entire weight of colonial loot.
There had been speculation that Camilla, the Queen Consort, would wear the crown that contains the Koh-i-Noor for her coronation. The Indian government were reportedly unhappy with the suggestion, saying it would evoke painful memories of the empire. Today, Buckingham Palace announced that Camilla will wear Queen Mary's crown instead. Three diamonds from Queen Elizabeth's jewellery collection will be added to it. Crisis averted. The next controversy to deal with, whether Prince Harry will be at his father's coronation.
Definitely one to watch. Charlotte Gallagher reporting. That's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to James Graham for producing. Tom Clark pressing all the buttons. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.